Father God, we gather here today as your church to worship you. You are so faithful to your creation that doesn't always reciprocate that faithfulness back. So, Lord God, you do so much for us. You do everything for us. And there's really nothing that we can give back to you except our worship, except our heart, except our service to you. So, Lord, today as we are gathered here, help our hearts and minds come into alignment with yours as the Holy Spirit guides and directs us. Lord, we repent. We're sorry for creating so many idols in our lives, for chasing those things that are not of you, forcing those doors open that you have shut for our own safety. Lord God, looking to all the different things and then finally coming around to you. Lord, we're sorry that we're such a stiff-necked people in so many ways. So just for this morning, just for this time now as we spend it with you, help us to put all that stuff aside so that we can focus in, opening our ears, opening our hearts to hear your voice. Because I believe, Lord, your voice is always there. It's just we're not always listening. So this morning, Lord God, we do give you our thanks. We give you our heart. We give you our very life. Sometimes that's easy to do on a Sunday morning, but by Sunday afternoon, seemingly we've taken it back. Lord, help us to live in you. To live in you, to exist within who you are. And Lord God, there's really nothing other than that that is of any value. So this morning, Jesus, be glorified in our word, in our speech, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our pursuit of you. But let it not end when this service ends. Let it not end when Sunday ends. Let it overflow into the rest of our week, into our year, into our life. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. You guys may be seated. Kids, you don't need to be seated. Kids can jet on out of here. That's a lot. Who's down with the kids today? Jordan. There's a lot of kids. Yes! Hey, Jordan! He didn't hear me. We're going to have communion, so I'll forget. It's like forgetting that the kid's in the car and you go in to eat or on vacation, right? And you leave your kid. No, we never did any of those things, but I always forget to call the kids back up. So usher somebody in here at the end of the service when we're transitioning into communion. Somebody grab the kids because we definitely want them up here. It's important to do communion as a family. All right, we just have one announcement again today. Main announcement is VBS. VBS tomorrow, it's going to get super crazy. Be in prayer for the volunteers to have patience and energy to keep up with all the kids, but also be in prayer for the kids, that they have such excitement, that God becomes so real to them that they can't help but take Jesus back into their houses, back into their neighborhoods, that all they want to do is talk about Jesus. That can happen, and we do see that happening. So we need to be faithful to pray for VBS. It's a church outreach. It's not just something that it's like, hey, as adults, we should put on VBS. We should spend hours decorating the church. We should spend 3 hours a day just being run ragged. It's not about what we want to do. It's about a church outreach. It's about taking Jesus into the community and instilling it within these kids. So definitely, definitely be in prayer about that. I don't know the exact numbers now, but I know that we were, as of the beginning of last week, we were actually over capacity a little bit, which is awesome. We won't turn anybody away, but it's been a good turnout so far. Let's hope that the parents follow through to get their kids here, right? A lot of times the limiting factor is the parents getting the kids here. So pray for all of those things. All right, 4 ways to give, like always. You can give online or through our app. You can text an amount. You can use our giving boxes in the sanctuary and in the foyer, or you can send it in. You can just mail that in. If the Holy Spirit is guiding you, listen to Him, because really, this is for real. We're not here to try to get your money like so many people think churches do. The reality is Jesus taught a parable about being faithful with a little so you can be faithful with more. If you think about it, being faithful with your finances is pretty darn easy. It really doesn't cost you much. The blessings, on the other hand, are massive. But sometimes God just says, hey, I'm going to see if this person will be faithful, if they'll listen to what I'm guiding them to do. And it can be as something as small as tithing and making offerings and listening and obeying the Holy Spirit. And through that, God can open up some pretty big things in your life because He trusts you in there. That's enough said about that. It's a principle of worship is what I believe. So let's pray, and we're going to just jump right in. Father, thank you once again for this morning. Thank you that we as your church can actually gather here together, and it's a wonderful thing. And Lord God, something happens that's supernatural when your body gathers together. We worship together, which edifies you, but you edify us because we have made a sacrifice to corporately come and worship. But even being together, when your body is together, where two or three are gathered, special things happen. So thank you that we can gather here this morning. Holy Spirit, allow me to say those things which you would have me say, and just shut my mouth with everything else. We don't need it. I don't want it. Help me today. Help me not be the limiting factor, which I always will be compared to you. But Lord God, this morning, help me not be the limiting factor as this message is transitioned from you through me to the congregation. So Jesus, be glorified in all this. Like I always pray, Holy Spirit, don't let anybody leave here today the same way that they came in. And I'm going to extend that prayer. Holy Spirit, don't let any child who comes to VBS leave VBS the same way that they came. We pray all of this in your name, Jesus. And everyone once again said, amen. Amen. Well, a few Sundays ago, if you remember, just a couple Sundays ago, the brick that we talked about was the principle of being devoted. And devotion is just an incredibly important thing within our faith. Today, we are going to be looking at why being faithful is fundamentally critical in our walk and in our church as well. These two concepts share in their description of being steadfast and loyal, but we need to understand that they're not the same. There's some differences when we talk about devotion and faithfulness. Being devoted, that describes an intense, passionate, and an active dedication driven by deep affection. Being faithful is about keeping promises, duty, and consistency. You can think about it like this. If we are devoted to someone or something, we care about that someone or something with love and dedication. If we are faithful to someone or something, we don't betray or bring harm to that someone or something. If you are here this morning, if you made it a point to get out of bed this morning, to get moving, it's time, your day off on your weekend, and you actually wanted to come to church, there was something that said, hey, this is just a part of who I am, then you most likely know that God is in fact faithful. He keeps his promises, and he is true in his consistency. And as we were worshiping this morning, I was thinking, oh Lord, we can trust, we can place our trust completely in your faithfulness. That even though we tend to stray, our minds get scattered, we get distracted by so many things, God doesn't. He just doesn't. He remains faithful to us even when we are not faithful to him. That is monumental. That is completely opposite of who we are as humans, right? As humans, we tend to be faithful to those who give us attention, right? We can be dedicated to those who will love us back. But God's on a whole different plane. He will be faithful to you even when you're deep in sin and rebellion against him. It's pretty crazy. Look at what Moses says in Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore, know without any doubt and understand that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who is keeping his covenant with his steadfast loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. God is faithful. The writers of the Psalms describe the faithfulness of the Lord in some powerful ways. Look at what it says. Psalms 36:5. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. That's the dedication part. Your faithfulness to the clouds. Psalms 119:90. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth and it stands fast. Do we have to worry right now that the world is going to spin off its axis and go flying somewhere into a different part of the universe? No. God is faithful in what he has established. In his timeline, the heavens and the earth, they will melt away. But he is faithful in the timeline that we are in, the church age right now. He is also faithful that he has given us his word in the form of the Bible that we can look back on, we can use as a resource. God is so faithful. The Hebrew word used here for the Lord's faithfulness, it literally means firmness. There's a firmness to God. Figuratively, it means security and steadfastness. So the literal word is firmness. God is firm. He is faithful. Figuratively, that means that we can understand that there is a security and there is a steadfastness to God. And when we serve him, we can understand that security and that steadfastness. Because of the faithfulness of God, we can, in fact, live every single day. We can live in the security of his truth. If you've noticed in culture today, there's a lot of people that are not living very securely in anything at all. Because they're not living in the firmness of God, they can be swayed so easily. Emotionally, they're swayed every single day. They don't know how to react. They don't know what to do. They get consumed with watching 24-hour news. And of course, 24-hour news is a business to make money. So they're going to do whatever it takes to cause people to watch. They're going to focus on the negative aspects of things because they know that inherently will draw us in. because we want to watch it and we want to know what's going on and we want to react to that, and we don't know what's going to happen. We need to call people. We need to complain. We need to tell them how fearful we are or how bad things are getting. There's not a security within that type of lifestyle. So it would do a lot of people good to take off, to turn off the 24-hour news and turn on Scooby-Doo, right? It's always a good ending to Scooby-Doo. Now, if you've been walking with God, you have noticed that truth, God's truth, does in fact bring a steadiness into our lives. It's amazing. Maybe you were like this. Maybe there's people that you know who are like this, but they were all over the place. They were just flip-flopping all around. It's like there was no stability in their life, and they come to Jesus, and there's such a change. It's such a tangible change, because Jesus, in his truth, brings a steadiness into our lives. If you're sitting in here today going, wait a second, you're describing me. I feel like I'm all over the place. I feel like I have these big emotional swings all the time. Sometimes I'm happy. Sometimes I'm fearful. Sometimes I'm sad. Sometimes I'm angry. Sometimes that's like the weather in Montana. It changes every 5 minutes. I would say maybe you need to evaluate the steadiness in your life, the faithfulness and the dedication that you are extending to God. EDISPA, the message that man, I've had a lot of comments on that message and how that made sense and how they're walking through that process. But their structure, the S in that is for structure. Structure being steadiness and stability. All of this is God's faithfulness. This is what we need to rely upon. This is what we must rely upon in living in a world of shifting sands. And now we're back to the passage that this entire series is built on. It's Matthew 7, 24 to 28. Just as a reminder, you guys should know this one by now. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock, on the faithfulness of God. And anyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The sand is this world, the shifting sands of this world. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. The words of Jesus our truth. His truth equates to faithfulness, which brings a firmness and a steadiness even in the harshest of storms. That is what the wise man seeks. On the other hand, to reject Jesus' words is to reject truth, which leaves an absence or a void in terms of stability. The storm comes, and in its wake, there is destruction. Not might be. There will be destruction. That's what the foolish man gets. As a pastor, I see it all the time, and unfortunately, I bet you do too. People who have not founded themselves upon the rock. People who are not building upon the rock. From the Psalms that we just read, we understand the faithfulness and the truth of God is infinite. It reaches, as David compares, to reaching to the clouds. And his faithfulness and truth is known. And it's available to all generations, to every single person. It's available. It's there. But not everybody chooses to accept it. And in his faithfulness and truth, we are allowed, we are invited in to the firmness and stability that he wishes each one of us to have. The definition of faithfulness then is established by God through his character and through his attributes. So when we speak of faithfulness, to keep that definition genuine, we have to measure it against God's established action of faithfulness based on his truth. What about us? Where God does not struggle with faithfulness, we do. And unfortunately, we have been headed and are heading in a bad direction when it comes to faithfulness. We just have to look at society for this, right? Just look back over the last 50 years, and we need to ask the question, how has culture affected how we look at faithfulness? This is just a seemingly irrelevant example, but it does show a priority shift. Professional athletes used to stay with one team for their entire career. Their faithfulness to that team overshadowed their financial desires, right? To a more relatable issue, look no further than the common person. There used to be a thing called job longevity. It was created by a faithfulness that was extended by the employer that created a faithfulness in the employee. Pastors, right? 50 years ago, a pastor went to a church, and that pastor pastored that church until most of the time that pastor could not pastor that church anymore. Now, there were different circumstances and different things, but what you would see is you would see the average pastor staying at a church for 15 to 20 plus years. I think the latest data shows that over all denominations, the average length that a pastor stays at a church is just over 2 years. Pastors want to use churches as stepping stones, right? Because their pastors have become faithful to the idea that the bigger the church, the more successful it is. But we talked about last week where that's not true. Could you imagine going to a church where about every 2 years you're going to have a new guy? How does that build firmness? How does that build steadiness? How does that build stability? You might be stuck with me for a little bit longer. Yeah, right. No. Now remember our definition of faithfulness. It's about keeping promises, it's about duty, and it's about consistency. Promises, duty, and consistency. We have military guys in here today, and it's like we have people that have been involved in law enforcement or other things like that, and it's like, hey, promises, duty, and consistency. In other words, we would call that loyalty. So what about those things that have a greater cultural impact than a professional athlete staying with a team his entire career, or somebody working a job from start to retirement? What about those things that have a deeper cultural impact? You know, things like family and marriage and other relationships and even church. Did you know there are more dysfunctional and split families now than ever before? You guys know that, right? You don't have to look far. You don't have to listen closely. to understand there are so many dysfunctional and split families. Families, they split up for multiple reasons, but the main reason is because of divorce. Let me ask you this. Is the percent of divorce higher or lower over the last 50 years? Higher? Because it's going up, isn't it? Obviously, if it's higher now than it was, then we're trending upward. Currently, first-time marriages have a 41 to 50% chance of ending in divorce. It's a coin flop. Whoop, flip. I got soccer on my mind. World Cup soccer, so I said flop. Because everybody says, oh, the hardest part about watching soccer is all the people flopping and things like that. Marriage today is so many treat it like we're going to flip a coin. Heads, we stay together. Tails, we get divorced. Not that big a deal, right? What we have to understand is faithfulness doesn't mean things are going to be great all the time. Faithfulness means that even in the hard times, the broken times, times we think, boy, I just can't handle this anymore. Those are the times that we are to place the covenant of marriage above our circumstances. Faithfulness in that. See, too many go into marriage these days with the mindset that, you know, if it doesn't meet my expectations, then I'll just move on. It's not that big of a deal. But when a marriage is built on this kind of shifting sand, faithfulness becomes an afterthought. Now, am I standing up here saying that a marriage needs to be built on God, His love, and His truth? Is that essential? Is that what this pastor is trying to say? Absolutely, with an exclamation point. The comparison that really, if you look through the Bible, the comparison that God makes between marriage and His church is pretty evident because it's similar in so many ways. Too many choose a church based on their wants, their needs, and their desires. Well, this is what I wanted to see in a church. This is how I want worship to sound. These are my ultimate needs. I'm going to check this out, and if they don't meet my needs, well, then maybe we just won't go there, because after all, it's all about me. This is my desire when I come to church. I want my coffee drink made just like this. I want to be able to sit in the exact same spot. I want certain people to talk to me, but I don't want everybody to talk to me. I have a checklist, and I'm going to check out these different churches, and the church that checks all those boxes, that's the church that I'm going to attend. We shop like we're shopping for a pair of shoes, for goodness sakes. And wouldn't you know it, the church always fails to meet every want, every need, and every desire. Do you know why? It's because if you try to make church all about you, you will always be disappointed. Because the church is a body of believers, and you're not the head. Christ is the head. But it's just so easy to church jump around, using that church until they no longer meet your selfish needs. And I'm telling you, that's some hard preaching right there. But honestly, I've never lived in a community or in a culture where there is more church jumping. It's so prevalent here in Helena, Montana. It's just crazy. No, there was something I didn't like, or, oh, look at what this church is doing. I'm just going to jump all around. Is there a faithfulness to that? Now, I thank the Lord that for the most part, we have stability here. And please understand, I'm talking in terms of biblically solid churches, okay? If you're in a compromising church, if you're in a church that struggles with character and ethics, if that church is not preaching the word, if that church is avoiding biblical truth, if that church is turning its back on God's faithfulness, well then, run. Don't walk from that place. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about people in a biblically solid, healthy church just thinking, no, I'm just going to leave because I've used up the resources here. I need to go somewhere new and tap into new resources. Those could be financial. Those could be emotional, right? Those could be all sorts of different resources. There's no faithfulness in there. What I'm saying here is that God's faithfulness should produce in us a faithfulness that leads us in our families, in our marriages, and in our churches. It's God's faithfulness that has to do that. Because if you're trying to build faithfulness on your own ideas and your own understandings, those are by nature faulty, right? Because only God possesses the truth. And we need to do this not only in good times, but even more so in the hard ones. It's no wonder that culturally, we really stink at faithfulness. That is because culturally, we, and I'm speaking for the world, not us as born-again believers, but we as the world, the general public, they have turned their back on God and His truth. So you can't turn your back on God and His truth and expect that you'll be able to exercise faithfulness into this world. Here's how we are to look at faithfulness. We are faithful to Scripture. We are not afraid it might offend. We are faithful to the Holy Spirit because He brings conviction. We are faithful to Jesus. We are not afraid He is too controversial in His teachings about salvation, morality, and the only way to the Father. We cannot openly refuse God's faithfulness and expect culture to have any idea or application of faithfulness. See, as Christians, we can complain about why the world acts the way the world acts, but we've withdrawn from the world to the extent that we're not modeling anything to the world. Because there's no kids in here, I can talk about one of the VBS little things and one of the things I'm going to talk about, right? It's about Jesus is the light that needs to shine into the darkness. Therefore, we can think of ourselves as a mirror or a magnifying glass, right? This is elementary school lesson right here. Does a mirror or a magnifying glass produce light? It doesn't. It doesn't have the ability to produce light. But what a mirror can do is a mirror can reflect light. Light's coming here, and that mirror can be positioned in a way that it reflects the light over here. What about a magnifying glass? Magnifying glass does not produce light, but what a magnifying glass can do is it can take that light, and it can condense that light, and it can amplify that light into a more direct beam. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Now, the result of all this in our lives is amazing. We become the reflection of God into people around us. We become a conduit that takes God's wonderful light and truth and faithfulness, and it concentrates it into single conversations where I can share my testimony here, there, and the other. For the kids in VBS, they're going to walk away with magnifying glasses thinking, I can burn grasshoppers and ants. For us, we have a greater understanding that we are to be both a mirror as well as a magnifying glass. if we are not faithful to God, listen close. If you get nothing out of today, get this out of today. If we are not faithful to God, the culture suffers. But who exactly is the culture? It's not abstract. The culture is the family, the kids, the wives, and the husbands. The culture is the neighbors in the neighborhoods, the schools. The culture is the local community in which we are involved in. Right? Are we being a mirror? Are we being a magnifying glass? Are we standing on the faithfulness of God? Remember, faithfulness literally means firmness. Are we standing on the firmness of God so that we can take Him into the culture, the families, the kids, the wives, the husbands, the neighborhoods, the schools, the local communities, as well as the churches? You see, we all suffer collectively when the culture refuses to accept and follow the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness is kind of, we're going to stick with it no matter what. God sticks with us no matter what. As born-again believers, we are to obviously stick with God no matter what. But God will place people in our lives, and we're to stick with them no matter what. Hard people, unlovable people, annoying people, smelly people, all sorts of people. God is going to place those people in our lives to reflect His light, to amplify His light, His truth, and His word, because He loves that person. He has a faithful heart toward that person. But if we don't understand God's faithfulness, if we're not living within God's faithfulness, we're going to lose interest quick and we're going to move on. Do you know what comment that I get so many times from so many different people on a Sunday after church, during the week, if I see them out in the community? It's that they don't want to leave the assembly of the faithful. It's like, man, I actually enjoy being in church. And when they tell me that, there's a element of surprise in their voice. I actually enjoy being in church. It's like, wow, that's crazy. It's become crazy because of our culture. Why do you go to church in the first place? Isn't it a waste of time? I just have other things to be doing. It's because we have a faithfulness to God because He's faithful to us. And when we surround ourselves with the body, there's just something that says, hey, even though church is over, I don't quite want to leave. I just want to hang around. If you're out the door right when service ends, maybe you have a reason you need to be gone, but if you're just leaving because, well, they said church is over, I'm leaving, I would encourage you to just hang around a little bit and see what happens. It's like, we got before church, which is awesome, we got church, and then we have after church, and there's true fellowship going on. And that testifies to the faithfulness of God and our option and obligation to extend that faithfulness not only back to God, but to those that are around us. You see, it's because when you are a part of a biblically faithful church that trusts and relies on the faithfulness of the Lord, you feel a connection through the Holy Spirit of what should be, but isn't in culture, right? If you've noticed, culture seeks anything that they can be a part of. That's why there's so many different clubs. When I used to, many centuries ago, when I used to do a lot of like races and triathlons and adventure races, a lot of them switched to Sunday mornings. They would hold the races on Sunday morning because they understood Saturdays were busy for people. So they were like, hey, we'll just do it on Sunday mornings. You see that in youth sports today, right? They've switched it to Sunday mornings. And within that, there's a culture that is built where people want to be a part of that, right? If you come to church the way I come to church at those ball fields several times over the summer, it's just packed on a Sunday morning with campers, right? And if you've talked to these baseball parents, man, that is their thing. That is their big thing. They're seeking connection through that. But then the next year, little Johnny doesn't make the baseball team because there's no faithfulness in that, right? And now all of a sudden they're not in that anymore. Now they got to go find something else. Aren't you glad that no matter how good your kids are in sports, no matter how good you are at running a race, no matter what your interests are, the church is always a place of true and faithful connection. It stands in opposition of this world. Now, I'm not saying that Bridge is the ideal church, mainly because there is no ideal church. And I don't care to be labeled as anything else than a biblically based, friendly community of faithful believers relying on the faithfulness of the Father as taught and modeled by Christ and inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's what we want here. We don't need all the other things. That's the meat of the matter. This is the culture that we seek here. This is the culture that we seek to establish here. And yes, that is you. You establish that culture. And do you know what? Every single person is involved here. Our faithfulness is dependent upon God and His faithfulness that inspires us and equips us. And God is faithful because of His character and His attributes. We are inherently not faithful to anything until we accept God's faithfulness and truth through the faithfulness of Christ, which led Him to the cross. Inherently, we are faithful to nothing. But when we become faithful to the Lord because of His faithfulness, look back through church history. Look at what happened to the apostles. They were all martyred except for one, right? The disciples, many of the early church disciples, were killed for their faith. There's something different that makes people say, I will not deny Christ Jesus as my Lord, no matter what. No matter what the government says, no matter what my family says, no matter what culture says, no matter what those that are around me say, I choose to be faithful to God. If you guys saw the news in the last week, you know that Canada decided to go ahead and take the step and say, hey, basically, this is hate speech, right? We need to ban this. We need to ban this book. Do you think true Christians in Canada right now are saying, oh, well, because I can't preach out of the Bible anymore, I guess I'll just stop. Because I can't speak to those around me professing the truth of the Bible, I'll just not do that anymore. No, they're not. Because if they're a true born-again believer, they're saying, I don't care what the government says. God, you are above the government. If the government comes and tries to separate you from God, you better make the right decision and say, see you guys, I may live here, but it's God that I follow. Do you know the main reason that Jesus came, walked, taught, and died on the cross? Many would say, well, Jesus came to provide a way where there was no other way. But that is actually the result of why Jesus came. It's the result of Jesus' central purpose. Hear me out here. The number one priority of Jesus was to be faithful to his father and to his father's will. Because of his faithfulness to his father, Jesus willingly went to the cross. Jesus came out of a faithfulness to his father. We know that from John 3:16 and 17, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We are saved and not condemned because of the faithfulness of both the Father and the Son, driven by the love of both the Father and the Son. You see, it's all about God, and it's not about us. But we are able to receive, through his faithfulness, salvation. And that sure does benefit us. And that sure does change us. This is the fundamental understanding that we need to live out. Look at Paul's words in Romans 8, 26 and 28. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He helps us when we are weak, for we do not know what to pray, for we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Is this not all about God's faithfulness? We're sitting there, we're struggling. We don't know what to pray, we don't know what to think, we don't know what to do. But God is always faithful. He is always faithful in our lives to guide us, to calm us down, to push us through the door, to comfort us, to counsel us, to convict us, to challenge us. God is always faithful. See, the faithfulness of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's what this is all about. They are faithful to each other as the triune God. And that faithfulness is overflowed in his character and his attributes into our life. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The faithfulness of Christ on the cross. The faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in helping us when we don't know what to pray. The faithfulness of the will of God. The faithfulness that we can extend back to God through our life, our purpose, our calling. And you can bet your eternity on that. We can bet our eternity that we serve a faithful God. When we take on Christ, that produces in us an ability to be faithful to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:9 it's a really good one. God is faithful. He is reliable, trustworthy, and ever true to his promise. He can be depended on. And through him, you are called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because of Jesus, we are called into the stability and the firmness. So where does true faithfulness come from? God and God alone. What is the result when we pursue and when we open ourselves to his faithfulness? Well, it's fellowship with Jesus and his lordship over our lives. I am so thankful that the lordship that God places over my life, I'm glad he's faithful to that. What does the world lack? Faithfulness, fellowship, and the lordship of Jesus Christ in their life. As born-again believers, Jesus becomes our Lord. We enter into fellowship with Christ and with his church, and we experience all the beautiful and wonderful facets of God's faithfulness within our life. And that's not the absence of hardship and trials and agony and suffering in our life, because we're all going to go through those things. And sometimes those things get to the point where they feel unbearable, but rather in the steadiness, in the security, in the firmness of God, that helps us to navigate this life, which by His faithfulness allows us to endure, to drive and closer to God in these times. Philippians 4:13 is probably one of the most misused verses in the entire Bible. You guys know it. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And yet, in the proper context, we should probably read it more like this. I can endure all circumstances despite the pain, agony, uncertainty, or hardship through Christ and His faithfulness, as He is the one who strengthens me. That would be a much better understanding than placing it on sports equipment and things like that, right? God is faithful in the good times. Amen to that. But God is also faithful in the bad times. He is faithful because that is His nature. He is trustworthy because that is His nature. He possesses all truth and righteousness because that is His nature. He extends a reconciled relationship to us through Christ because that is His nature. The faithfulness that we obtain in His faithfulness through His will and His actions is available to each one of us. We are dependent upon the Lord and His faithfulness, and never the other way around. Right, never the other way around. Look at Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, true to His word and His righteous character, for He cannot deny Himself. Right? You can turn your back on God and think you're punishing God, right? You can turn your back on Christianity and think you're asserting yourself in this way or the other. But the fact of the matter is, it is all about God. And no matter what we do, He will not pull back His faithfulness to each one of us. Why? Because His desire is to seek and save that which is lost, so that none shall perish. Right? Mirror, magnifying glass. What are we to be doing? How are we involved in that? So what we can take away from all of this is that God is God, independent and non-dependent upon us, but God, within all His glorious attributes, including His faithfulness, does something completely extraordinary. He invites us to Himself, because God always remains true to His word and true to His righteous character. Worship team, if you guys want to come on up here. EDI SPA, right? We kind of float back to that encounter, right? Got to have an encounter with God. D is discipleship, right? We got to learn to walk with God. We got to learn how to follow Him. In discipleship, we build faithfulness, right? I is identity. Who are we in Christ? S is structure, right? We need that discipline and that structure in our life. That continues on faithfulness within our life. P is purpose. A is assignment. We got to be in the process of all of these things. Where does faithfulness fall into it? Faithfulness is what causes us to say, God, in Your strength, I'm going to pursue a life with You. Not just association, but a life that carries me deeper and deeper every step that I go, that you reveal to me who I am in you more and more every single day. If you have been struggling with any of this, if you have been struggling with your identity in Christ, structure, discipleship, your purpose, any of those things, if you have been struggling with any of that, don't give up and don't give in. Rely upon His faithfulness and put into practice His faithfulness into your life. Sometimes struggle is what is needed to produce strength, right? Sometimes we think we can sit here and we can say, God, I proclaim health on this situation. Satan, I bind you in this situation. You can't come against me or this church or this situation that I'm in. Except He can when it's God's will and it's God's idea. You see, God uses Satan to accomplish things within our life that are meant to, for us to be drawn back into a deeper relationship with Jesus. Is God really going to bind Satan when He's using Satan to call us closer to Him? See, our theology can get screwed up really bad because it's exciting to say those things. But instead of all that, let's focus on God. Because it's all about God. Let's focus on His faithfulness. Let's have an understanding that in the hard times, it's a great opportunity to be drawn back into a stronger relationship with God, to learn more about my identity in Christ, to develop more structure, to rely more on discipleship. We have such a faulty understanding, so many times while we're going through the bad situations and the agony. But Lord willing, we submit to God. And on the other side of that, we can look back and say, in those times of agony, hardship, trials, and tribulations, God, I saw you. I experienced you. I had a relationship with you that has changed my entire life. Thank you for the hard times. I would have never wanted it any other way, because until I was pressed to that point, I would have never gotten to the point where I'm at now. You see, we can have trust in that. We can have confidence in that because we can have an understanding that in God's faithfulness, if He places us in a trial, His desire is to bring us through that trial. Now, we can get in the way and screw all that up. But God is faithful. So if you're struggling right now, if you're in one of those struggles, take your focus off yourself. Take your focus off everybody else's advice. Read the book of Job. It'll become very apparent. God's faithfulness never waned in Job's life, and it won't wane in our life either. So once again, hear me when I say God is faithful. Press into where His faithfulness, where His firmness becomes yours. Amen. We're going to enter into a time of communion, but before we get there, right? Don't be too eager to just jump up and grab your stuff. Take time getting before God. You know, Paul talks about the need to take communion in an appropriate manner, civilized manner, but more importantly, a spiritual manner. So we don't want to be taking communion if we are living in sin, if we have unrepentant sin in our lives. And that doesn't mean there's a quarantine portion or period that you have to enter into. It simply means get right with God now. Right now, this morning, go to God right now. Clear those things up, right? because he's faithful. He's always faithful. So if you have something going on in your life, even if it's doubt, if it's rebellion, if it's sin, if it's lust, if it's any of those things that are just getting in the way, they're attempting to get in between you and Jesus, you need to deal with those things before we take communion together. And if you're in a spot right now where you're saying, man, I just can't deal with that this morning, it's too big, it's too large, then don't take communion. Just don't take it. It's not peer pressure. We don't do peer pressure communion, right? It's between you and God to get right in that manner. If that's something that maybe you can't do this morning for whatever reason, then just don't take communion. It's no big deal. You're not going to be judged on that. We don't have somebody in the balcony writing names down. None of that. I would also encourage you, if you struggle in faithfulness or anything like that, if God is speaking to you in any manner, get to the altars. Just because we're having communion doesn't mean the altars they're not open as well. It doesn't mean there's not people that are willing to pray for you. We can put communion off for however long we need to in order for God to meet those true spiritual needs so that we can celebrate together with communion. So we're going to go back into worship. It can take as long as we need, but I encourage you, don't let this time before God get away from you. And then we'll come together. We serve an open communion in this church. An open communion is a biblical communion. An open communion means the spiritual requirements is that we're all born again Christians, right? That means we're a part of the church, the Big C church. Therefore, if you're visiting today and you're like, well, I don't know what I have to do, is it okay to take communion here? As long as you love Jesus, then it's okay. And if you receive your elements, just take them back to your seats, and then I'll come back and we'll all take them together. If you'd stand up with me, let's pray. We'll enter into a time of worship. Take as long as you need. Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that firmness, that rock, that truth is what we can build our lives on. It's what we can build ourselves on. And Lord, brick by brick, as we construct our faith, Lord God, we know that it is stable and it is secure. So, Lord God, if there's bricks that are not up to your standard, Lord God, point those out in our lives so we can get rid of those bricks so they don't cause a problem later. Lord God, we do. We are in amazement of your faithfulness to us. You have been faithful to us our entire lives, even though, Lord, we as people have done dumb things. We have lived so apart from you. We have hurt others. We have hurt ourselves. We have done just disgusting and terrible things, and yet you were faithful. Jesus, you were faithful to go to the cross. You were faithful to give up your life, because that's what your Father asked you to do. And out of that, Lord God, it built a pathway. It built a bridge to us that we could have a reconciled relationship with you, Father. So we thank you for that faithfulness that got us through the hard times, but will continue to get us through the hard times. And we thank you for your faithfulness that keeps us from falling away during the good times. So be honored today, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we blew that. We underestimated the summer numbers. There's one left. We'll just let her. So, worship, I am sorry. We'll do a separate one later. No, you're totally fine. So today, in communion, we do as we should always celebrate the faithfulness of God. And it's through his faithfulness that he has kept his scriptures uncorrupted, passing them down to us. So when we read scripture, in God's faithfulness, it still absolutely applies. In his faithfulness, he didn't give a separate Bible in the year 1200, and he didn't update it in the year 2000, and now that we're past a quarter century into this new millennium, he hasn't said, hey, I need to do a different Bible. He's faithful and true to his word. So these things that we can read, we read out of 1 Corinthians 11, we take that instruction from Paul himself on how we are to treat communion, the requirements of communion, all of those things. When we read those things, when we preach scripture from this platform, because of God's faithfulness, we can place our faith in his scripture and in his truth. 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, born out of the faithfulness of the Father. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Doesn't that speak to the faithfulness that we reflect to God? "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Father's death until he comes." Until he comes. That's a statement of God's faithfulness. So as we take this bread with the understanding, if Jesus' words, "This is my body, which is for you, do this in remembrance of me," we understand that Jesus allowed himself to be broken for us, to fulfill the will of the Father, to be with us. Father God, we thank you for the body of Jesus, the broken body of Jesus. And Lord God, as we take this symbol, Lord God, we do it in faith and in remembrance as to the sacrifice of Christ. Go ahead and take your bread. And Lord God, we proclaim this cup representing your blood, representing the new covenant that we now live in. Lord God, we thank you that we live in this time. Lord God, you knew us before creation and you said, you need to be born now into the new covenant. I have a job, a purpose for you. Lord God, in your new covenant, help us to discover our true purpose and our assignment in you. And Jesus, we take this bread and we drink this cup. And as we do so, we not only proclaim your sacrificial death, but we also look forward to the glorious day of your return. The true and faithful God. Go ahead and take your juice. So, Father God, today, let today just not be a time that we attend in church, but today, let it be a day that we have chosen to press in deeper to you, that we have chosen to act upon the invitation that you have already laid out in our lives. Lord, let today be the day where we can finally say we trust in your faithfulness. And Lord God, help us in our own lives become more faithful in your name to those that are around us, in our church, in our neighborhood, in our schools, in our families, in our marriages, with our kids, with our parents. Help us to extend your faithfulness, because that pierces in to a faithless and a faithfulless culture. So we glorify you today, Jesus. We thank you. Holy Spirit, once again, I pray. Deeply from my spirit, I pray that nobody leaves here the same way that they came in. We love you, Jesus. We honor you. We pray this in your name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.